Hello and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me as always is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson. Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith.
How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I am splendiferous.
Oh, my.
You know why?
Why?
Because this week's show is a special one. Why is it special, you may ask?
I do ask.
After all, I mean, they're all special, you know. It's because, well, we've reached a landmark milestone. Yes, indeed, it's our 150th episode spectacular.
Sesquicentennial?
Yes.
Sorry, exactly.
No, you're fine. The voice you just heard is our special fabulous guest co-host, Dave Holmes.
Hi.
Hi,
welcome, Dave.
Oh, it's so nice to be here.
The fabulous...
Hallowed ground, really.
Really.
It yes. is.
It is.
This is an important magazine to me.
Well, it is an important magazine because, well, we'll get to that in a second.
Okay.
Because I want to say who what all the fabulous things are that you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You're a comedian, former MTV VJ, pop culture and music expert, writer, and now author of your own book, Party of One, which is out now.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's in the world.
It's in the world.
Holy cow.
I'm actually holding it. That's the hard. That's the hardback version.
It's a physical copy.
When you get it, when you do a book, you keep getting it. Like you get a final version, like a PDF, and that's emotional. And then you get a galley, which is like soft cover that you send out to, you know, people to get chatter, and that's emotional. And I just got my box of like the hardcover ones, and that was emotional.
Yeah,
it's an emotional time.
You don't get over that. I'm
no,
sure.
No, you don't. You don't.
Well, Dave, we are super stoked that you're here because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. This week on the show, Dave Holmes is here, which we're both thrilled by. And in addition to talking about his brand new book, which I've read cover to cover, we will also be talking about our predictions for Song of the Summer, favorite summer songs of the past, and some of Dave's favorite musical summer memories. Perhaps even some from his new book. Who knows? But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode. And heck, give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. There is my preamble done for the day. I want to start off talking just a little bit about the book, and then we'll get into the songs of the summer. But your book, Party of One, out now, is like a memoir slash coming of age tale slash
MTV tell all.
Well.
There are moments.
Yeah.
There are moments.
There are brief moments of tell-allness.
How would you describe this? Because it's not like a necessarily conventional memoir.
Yeah. It's somewhere between, you know, a memoir and like a collection of essays, you know?
Yeah.
Somewhere between the, you know, not that I'm putting myself in these people's category, but like Augustine Burroughs and it meets David Sedaris. It's like in there. You know what I mean? Like it's a story. There's an arc. There's, you know, chronology. It goes in an order. But it's also, I feel like you can pick it up at any chapter, I hope, and dive in.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I actually did with the book before I sat down and started reading it.
Yeah.
I just would sort of flip through and pick the interludes.
Yeah.
Because what Dave does in the book is that it follows his life from childhood up until kind of the present-ish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in between chapters, he'll throw in an interlude. And usually it's in song or album form.
Right. It's playlisty.
I thought it was a nice kind of a palate cleanser in a way.
Yeah.
Between particularly trying chapters.
Yeah.
Where I felt like exhausted after reading a chapter. I'm like, really?
Ooh. Yeah, there's some heavy stuff in there. You know? There's some heavy emotional content. I'm happy about that, to be honest with you. Like, I kind of said, I mean, I'm known for like kind of light, breezy stuff. And I could do that. Like, I could write that book and do a bunch of, you know, funny essays and whatever. But my editor really kind of urged me to go there. And it was like, you know, to me, that felt like indulgent in a way. But it was like, no, that's the emotional content of the story is like what's going to, you know, what's going to resonate with people. And it's, you know, it might also be off-putting to some. But I like it. I like that I kind of ripped a little bit of my heart out and put it out there. Coming out is still, you know, as we've seen, it's still you still put yourself at risk. It's still an emotional journey, you know? And so I was, I kind of opened mine up onto the page. And there are, like, I just read it out loud cover to cover for the audiobook.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So there are moments where I was like, huh, yeah, this is heavy. And we need to talk about Irene Cara now or something.
Yeah,
I don't think we do talk about Irene Cara.
I don't think she actually comes up in the book. There,
she should have.
Yeah,
she's
implied.
She's implied.
She's always there.
Yeah. Pat Benatar is heavily mentioned repeatedly. Love is a Battlefield.
And the Dime a Dance gals.
Oh, yes. And how each one of them had their own special handshake at the end of the video. Which,
do you remember that?
Which you and the... I didn't remember that.
Really?
I was like, is that true?
Did you go and watch?
No.
You should go and watch.
Dave talks about it because he talks about it when he's a child. He hangs out with the candy store boys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Basically him and a bunch of other sort of outcasty types
mm-hmm.
that didn't know how to play team sports very well.
Yeah.
All banded together, and they would talk about music videos of the day back
right.
in the mid-80s. And, you know, if you're a child of the 70s or 80s or 90s,
mm-hmm.
a lot of what Dave talks about in this book, you're going to know, especially all of it is sort of within the sort of the context of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered, was there anything where you said, I can't put that in there? I need to not... You know, like, this is too much.
Yeah, I mean, there's some stuff. You know, there's some personal stuff. There's also, you know, it's important when you do this that you be the only person who comes off like a jerk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I can't really dish on other people other than myself. That just doesn't seem fair to me. So there are things where, you know, I was wronged by a specific person or what, and not even really too many of those. But I tried to avoid things where other people look lousy. And only make myself look bad.
Well,
which was so easy to do.
There were a number of moments where I was kind of reading the pages like through the fingers
yeah.
on my hands, going, "Oh God, Dave, don't! Yeah. Oh, you did that? Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
There was a lot of that.
There's a lot of that.
And it,
there's
and
a lot of that. Okay, it, good. I'm glad that resonated.
Well, no, I mean, it was just sort of because as a gay man, I like could. See so many things of myself
mm-hmm.
in your story.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, whether you're gay or not, are going to see all those awkward moments of growing up
mm-hmm.
and never actually finishing growing up.
Sure.
Like, we're not going to be done.
Complete.
Keith Richards said something great in a story at Billboard. He's like, you know, you never stop learning. You know, only when you croak
mm-hmm.
have you finished growing
Which
up.
Which he never will.
He never will. All those blood transfusions he had right. back in the day. I mean, he's just, I don't know, the coconut on the head on the island, and I don't know where I'm going with
yeah.
this. But
he put the lime in the coconut and shook
yes.
it all up.
See? Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I want to get to more about the book a little bit mm-hmm. later when we circle back and talk about sort of musical memories of summertime.
Okay, cool.
Which could be some from your book.
Great.
Perhaps about Sheena Easton.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
I don't know. Irene Cara. We could finally
sure.
work her in there.
Break dancing. Break out.
But we were actually having trouble the other day when we were doing a show. We were talking about Irene Cara.
Irene Cara literally came up in this week's show.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, like Monday.
Yeah,
yesterday.
We were recording, full disclosure, we're recording this show early.
Yeah.
So we were recording a previous show. We came up, we were talking about Irene Cara, and we immediately just thought of Fame and Flashdance, and then we
stopped and dropped off real quick.
Yeah. But there's The Dream. There's Breakdance.
We needed Dave there.
There is out there
on my own. Right. Yeah. See, this
which is, goes hand in hand.
This is why we needed former MTV VJ Dave Holmes.
Should I just move in?
Yeah, please.
Great.
Please.
This is my chair?
Yes, we'll get you a better one.
This is a very comfy chair.
It's a very comfy chair. We're like at a card table and three stools here.
Yeah.
This is just not
very
sexy.
Don't give
away
our secrets.
I know, I've ruined it. Let's talk about what songs we think might become some of the top songs of the summer in 2016. As folks know, if you're a fan of Billboard and its charts, we actually compile a Songs of the Summer chart
yeah.
each week throughout the summer. Which is based on the Hot 100 chart.
Mm-hmm.
Dave,
so how is it different, though, than the Hot 100 chart?
It's actually not really different.
Oh.
We basically just do a recap of the Hot 100.
Gotcha.
From during the summertime.
Allow me to ask an ignorant question since I work here, but
sure,
I was
Katie.
Wondering, because songs sometimes reappear on the Hot 100 that are older songs. Do we keep those out of contention?
No.
We don't.
But they
yeah.
won't.
Interesting.
So you may have like an old song, but I mean the chances of it.
Of it actually getting.
Hanging around
yeah.
long
yeah.
enough
right.
are pretty slim.
Okay. Like, let me say this, and I'm so glad that we're talking. Charts seem utterly chaotic to me now. You know what I mean? Like in our youth, a song would rise and then it would fall. And it was like it had a kind of predictable sort of 14-week lifespan, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's like it's number one, and then it's number 93, mm-hmm. and exactly. then it sort of goes up, and then it hangs in the 20s for a year or whatever. It's like I don't understand how kids like know when it is, and like that. I marked time through the charts,
yeah,
and I don't know how kids do that anymore. And so I'm not saying that you're like it's not chaotic because of what you're doing. It's just because of the way the world works now. Yeah. There's so many streams. It's not just you don't get all of your
there's
stuff.
There's so many variables,
figuratively and literally.
True. Yes,
there are so
yes,
many
streams. Yes.
Yes, charts are chaotic. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the beauty of how people consume music now.
Yeah.
Because it's so varied. I mean, you can have someone that just becomes a Vine viral hit.
Sure.
And that can present itself
yeah.
as a hit.
You have a Harlem Shake.
Yes, or a YouTube dance craze mm-hmm. or whatever. And you may have a brief shining moment on the chart for like a hot second. Or if you're a song from, you know, when Glee was popular, it might be popular for 3 weeks and then it's mm-hmm. gone.
Right.
But it was popular.
Sure.
That for that 1 week, it yeah. was popular.
Yeah.
And back in the 80s, those novelty hits that would pop on the chart for like a hot second were far and few between
yeah.
because you just didn't have the distribution channels to get a physical single out that didn't mm-hmm. exist. Mm-hmm. It was so much harder.
Right.
And so now it's great because there's so much out there.
Yeah,
and
it's exciting.
We try to capture all that.
It's exciting.
And that's why the charts look really funky sometimes.
Yeah.
But we think
it's exciting, but it's just, it's chaos.
Yes.
It's chaos.
It's chaos.
That's why all of a sudden Designer's Panda crawls up to number one when the majority of the country might never have heard of Designer.
Yeah.
Like it just happens.
I still don't know if I've heard that.
Yeah, well, if you would know because it just repeats the word panda a lot.
Really?
Yes.
Why does it do that? That's an interesting thing to do.
Why does he do that?
That's the hook.
That's the hook.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's talk about songs of the summer.
Sure.
I'll get this started. I think, and mine are a little bit sort of weird choices. I have a really conventional one, which I'll start with, which I think is an obvious choice, but the new Justin Timberlake song.
Sure. Can't front on that.
Even if you don't think it's going, even if it's not changing the world with the song, it is just so popular
yeah.
that will probably end up as number one, two, or three song of the summer.
Sure.
I know Katie isn't exactly a huge fan
I'm a huge Justin Timberlake fan, and I just can't with this. It's just so yeah. soulless.
Yeah,
you know?
It feels very Ooh. Familiar to me.
I just said that on the podcast, yeah. but yeah, no. Yes, it seems very familiar, generic. Like,
yes. Even and the video is like exactly the Happy video.
And it's very much like it's a promotional thing for the Trolls movie. And
what
so I think that it's just part of that, you know, studio system of like we need a song with our, you know, superstar mm-hmm. pop star singer guy. And somebody just cranked it out. And there's no Pharrell, there's no Timbaland like,
right.
to give it something.
It was one
better.
Of those things that like 24 hours later, everybody knew the words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it should just be piped directly into weddings.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It already
and
has
it's
been.
Like, but I don't think it's, yeah, it's not changing anyone's life.
Yeah.
You know, I don't
yeah.
think it's anyone's favorite song.
But you're
but it's
right
just a nice song.
That you can't, like, deny its popularity. And
right.
as far as, like, the chart goes, it probably will hang in there in the top five by the end of the summer.
Well, what would be one of your selections?
Okay, well, I feel like Drake has been dominating the charts so hardcore lately with One Dance and the album in general. Like, it's
right.
been a twofer of Drake for the last however many weeks. But in addition to One Dance, he has this song with Rihanna that hasn't been released as a single yet called Too Good from Views. And it's the second most popular song on Spotify from Views.
Mm, kind of a stealth
I got stats. So One Dance has 377 million listens as of our recording on Spotify, whereas Too Good has 75 million listens without even being a single.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the minute it gets put out, it's going to like take over radio. It's going to take over the world.
Drake and Rihanna, kind of an unstoppable
exactly.
yeah.
combo.
Yeah.
Dave, do you have a selection?
Can I tell you, I only have ears for Fifth Harmony right
oh.
now. I can't get enough of that
still,
album.
Still work from home, or do you have another
Yes.
pick?
See, I was kind of late to work from home, because I don't really listen to pop radio anymore, because it bums me out.
Why are you here?
I know, right? But yeah, I haven't related to anything on pop radio in a really long time. I only ever hear it in a Lyft. You know what I mean? Like, if somebody has the
yep.
top 40 station on,
yep.
which I don't even know what the top 40 station is in L.A.
Yes, you
but
do.
I've,
it's Kiss FM, 102.7.
I literally don't. I don't, because I just don't listen to it.
That's incredible.
And yeah, and it's been a while since I've loved a pop song. So I'm kind of, like, that song is newish to me. And I love it. And I got
yeah.
the album, and it is back-to-back just bangers. It's all so good. I think Not That Kind of Girl will probably be the next single, and I think that's going to explode. Yes. But any of them could. Dope. There's a song called Dope that I can't stop singing.
Are you a harmonizer, Dave?
Is that what they're called?
That's their
called.
Fan army.
That's you.
Get the hell out of here.
Adopt him, harmonizers.
Yeah, I love them. And I feel like I have a personal stake because I watched them come together on The X Factor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love them. I love them. That is my jam right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
I think, speaking of Rihanna, Calvin Harris's song, This Is What You Came For, with Rihanna.
Also on my list.
It's just sort of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it's already so huge. And it's actually a great track. It's actually a great dance track.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the perfect blend of, like, well, Calvin and Rihanna.
Yeah.
Of course this is going to be a hit. So that's my second choice.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a dark horse pick, which I think could be, because last year's Song of Summer was Omi. Cheerleader, mm-hmm. which our smart colleague at the time, Jason, predicted in like April, but nobody knew Omi until like July
right.
last year. So Kent Jones has a song, Don't Mind,
yeah,
that's
that
climbing up the R&B charts.
The chart.
And it's very like world, you know, music, kind of like it's got 9 or 10 different languages quoted in it. And it's the kind of thing that would just kind of become like an international hit, sort of like Cheerleader did last year. Got kind of a tropical feel, which always goes well in the summer.
Mm.
So I feel like if Kent Jones starts like really coming on like mainstream pop radio, it could be the Omi of this year.
Mm, interesting.
The Omi of this year.
Omi can, yeah. Omi,
maybe
Omi
can be the Omi of this year too.
Kent will also be thrilled if he has another hit after.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's fair.
Do you have any others, Dave?
Tegan and Sarah.
Ooh.
Boyfriend, I think, is fantastic. But also U-Turn. And again,
I don't know that
here's
one.
Another thing that's chaotic. Like, you release 5 singles all at once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throw it out there.
I don't get...
See what works.
How that works. That just doesn't make sense to me at all.
It's very different from the old-fashioned way where you'd mm-hmm. have one single and that's
yeah.
the single. It's like,
yeah.
no, you gotta throw them all out there and see what happens.
It's crazy. It's chaos. I'm telling you. But yeah, the song U-Turn is just fabulous. I really like that. That whole album, again, is like, it's a great... It feels very 80s. It feels very summery. It's very, you know... And I dig that there's some, like, queer... That they like went there. It's like it's mm-hmm. it's love songs about and to women. It's
yep.
not like they're not gender, you know, non-specific.
Melissa Etheridge-ing it up. Back
yeah, they are.
95.
They are, and I love that. And yeah. especially, I mean, like visibility is super important.
Yeah,
especially like in you know within pop. You know,
I have a song that is kind of under the radar still. It's actually on the Hot 100, but it's pretty low. It's by Ciara. It's called Gold. We actually talked about the single a little bit, I want to say back in January when Sam Lansky was on the
yeah.
show and he was our special.
That was the first time I'd heard of Ciara when
yeah.
we talked about her then.
The track is so cool and it's so different and weird but still accessible that I think it could be a dark horse contender. I don't know if it's going to end up as being like one of the top songs this summer, but I think it's certainly one that will surprise people and have like a slow burn effect. But it's definitely, if you haven't heard it yet, definitely go find it. It's Ciara, K-I-I-A-R-A, and the track is called Gold. So that's one of my dark horsey options.
That's a good one. And my final one that I put out was I wanted to rep country. So I put Keith Urban, Wasted Time.
Okay.
Do you know that song
mm-hmm.
yet? It's mm-hmm. really fun. It's very like country now where, you know, he's quoting like 80s songs, talking about Guns N' Roses, and it's you know, it's like this weird self-referential classic rock country kind of thing. And it's really fun.
Sounds like it's sort of like, is it like what Kenny Chesney did with that throwback American...
The American Kids.
American Kids song.
Or like any Eric Church song that talks about, you know, Springsteen, etc. Yes, it's
yeah.
like all of those.
And it's sort of weird, like, harkening back to old rock and roll as a new country song.
Country music is like classic rock.
It is.
Yeah. It totally
it is.
And I kind of love it. I'm
yeah.
kind of here for
John
it.
And all the young guys hold themselves like rappers now.
Yeah.
You
uh-huh.
notice that? Like, they all have that kind of stance. It's very strange.
They're all doing John Cougar Mellencamp, or just John Cougar, circa 83, 82.
Uh-huh.
That could actually be country music today.
Yeah, yeah. No, 100%.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely. My last one is country also, Sturgill Simpson's cover
oh,
of In Bloom.
Yes.
I love it.
That's a great
it's perfect,
one.
Yeah, it's perfect for, I have a pool, and we have pool parties a lot in the summer months, and it's like, so far as like, as we fire up the grill, and it's magic hour, you know what I mean? Like, the, mm-hmm. the sun is just so, and everyone's a little bit, you know, like sunburn and like we've had a couple of beers and whatever. It's like it suits that moment so perfectly.
Well,
I like all of our picks.
Yeah, I think,
yeah,
I think we did a good
I think
job.
We did pretty all right.
I think we did good, guys.
We wanted to take a moment to highlight some of the biggest songs of the summer of the past. Mm-hmm. Billboard.com has actually done a recap from 1985 through 2015 of the biggest summer songs of each season.
The top 10 for each year.
The top 10 from each year.
Yeah.
Now, we're not going to rattle them all off.
No.
But, you know, we've all had a moment to sort of glance at the lists, you know, and maybe there was one that was missed that, you know, was not a hit in the summertime that we may think was an important summer song. I mean, I'm looking at 1985, and the top summer song that year was Tears for Fears' Shout.
But to me, Everybody Wants to Rule the World is that summer's song. It's, like, that is summer to me.
It's funny how the charts work.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it, just by virtue of it being the season. Mm-hmm. And also, I freely admit that I still fail to grasp the mania over the concept of songs of the summer. What's going to be the summer song this year?
Yeah.
Like, why isn't there, like, you know, a fall single? Or your winter jam.
Yeah. I have deep, deep catalogs full of fall music.
Of course you
There's
do.
Like a specific autumn kind of song.
And it's not just like the Linus and Lucy, Vince Guaraldi stuff.
Well, eventually it
eventually,
is.
Eventually
yeah.
as you it go farther that. Into the fall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's more
After
of a winter.
After fashion, it becomes that. But yeah, no, for me, it's got to be like Lemonheads, Juliana Hatfield, Buffalo Tom, you know, Toad the Wet Sprocket. I talk about them extensively in the book. Yeah, like that kind of thing where it's just, like it's sweater music.
Yeah.
Yeah, there should be a song of
chart.
The evening. Yeah, we should.
Why are we talking about songs of the summer?
Do you like how I'm just moving in?
Yeah.
Sure.
I'm 1984 for me is the greatest summer for music.
Oh, and that's
time.
Exactly where what
and
we leave
we
off.
Don't
it's exactly what you leave off. But I mean, that summer is Purple Rain, and it's, you know, Borderline, and it's, you know, I think like, oh, say, Panama. From Van Halen.
Yeah.
Like, that was Head Over Heels by the Go-Go's. Like, everything from that summer makes me 13 again. But then, that's because I was 13 in 1984.
Well, like, the 84, I mean, I think that was the year that, like, Tina Turner's Private Dancer was still huge. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA was still huge.
Mm-hmm.
Thriller, actually, was still finishing up its run at the top of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, Madonna was just in between albums, really?
Yeah.
End of 84 was Like a Virgin. I should know this.
Yeah,
come
but
on,
that, summer, that summer, it was Borderline.
I should know this. as an aside, did you ever get to meet Madonna at your time at MTV?
I was in her presence once, but I didn't get
to. You weren't allowed to speak to her?
I was,
or
but
look
I
at
didn't.
Her.
I was, but I didn't. And same with Prince. Like, they were there, and I saw them, but like I was too self-conscious to go and say anything. You know what I mean? And there were so many people who were dying to, you know? And I of course, would love to talk to either of them, but, like, I could take it or leave it. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I don't want to be, like, a fanboy.
What do you say moments,
well, yeah,
too.
What
like,
do you
what
say?
Are you going to say
yeah.
to them
yeah.
that and, will have value? That's what I always feel like, at least.
My,
if you're not interviewing them, I should say.
For me, my biggest one, because I love him so much, is Robbie Williams.
Oh, I
met
love
him.
Robbie Williams.
Yeah. And here's what I heard myself say.
Uh-oh. Oh, no.
When I met Robbie Williams. He was in the studio the day The Ego Has Landed came out, and so he was getting mic'd up, and I was like, I have to meet him, and I was like, hey, I'm a big fan of yours, because I name dropped the two British albums that weren't out in the States yet, because you still had to like go to the store and
get the
import copy, which I had done, and I was like, congratulations on the new album, but it's just stuff from the first two albums, right? So I don't have to buy it. And he was like, yeah, no, you don't have to buy it. And I was like, why? Like, it just, those words tumbled out of my mouth before I had a chance to do anything about it.
But I
it.
Like that he was honest about it.
He was,
like, yeah, you're right.
He was super honest about it. And then he was like, well, thanks for liking me.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go lock myself
now.
In my dressing
That's
room.
That's amazing.
And you've never talked to him again, probably.
Never did, no.
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 He plays rec soccer in Santa Monica if you
I'll
ever just
right
want to
over.
Roll over there.
I will be there.
He's evidently selling his mansion somewhere in Beverly Hills.
Oh,
for like
well, maybe he
million.
Won't play rec soccer in Santa Monica anymore.
You
though.
Can always buy his house, Dave.
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do.
Yeah, yeah.
Once we option this for a film.
Yes.
Exactly.
You've got the hookup. Make it happen.
Sure.
And
also, okay, so back to 85.
Yeah.
Just sorry. The Power of Love is that for me, just because, again, I was young.
You have a Huey Lewis connection in your book, too.
I am mad for
I want
Huey
a new
Lewis.
Drug.
Yeah, I love him
Something
so much.
About his chest hair and putting his face into a icy sink of
yeah.
water.
Yeah, he was the grown-up I wanted to be.
Yes.
And also make out with. I have
Can't
loved
you
him
be
forever.
Both?
Maybe.
That's
Maybe.
Weird.
Yeah.
Never
hey,
mind,
you know what?
Mind.
A lot of adult gay couples, it does turn out that way, right? Like,
Where,
they do end up, like...
You're dating yourself?
Yeah.
But
yeah, that was a big Back to the Future summer. That was
oh,
a big
yeah.
summer movie. That was certainly the summer movie.
Yeah, Corey Hart's on here too from 1985, and you love Sunglasses at Night.
Ooh, I sure do. I love that whole record.
Make
out with that dude.
Corey Hart, you've heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
Dave is waiting to take your call.
And he had an earring in the right ear. And I know which that means I just that gestured at my left. Maybe. But I mean, that was the rumor back then, was that, like, if you had the right ear,
in the right place.
There were no rumors about him, but.
No, I don't think there were. Funny, there's a definite lack of sort of queerness, I suppose, on our Songs of the Summer chart, just because you talk about it a lot in your book.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't see a whole lot of, I mean, weirdly in the 80s you did, because you had like Boy George,
yeah,
and you had, you know, Pet Shop Boys, where you had these sort of like flamboyant characters, like Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Relax, mm-hmm. you talk about that, where it was, in a weird way, they were out and happily talking about very gay things,
mm-hmm.
but it was all kind of coded in just a way where it wasn't super obvious.
It wasn't super obvious, no. Like, Boy George wasn't out, which is crazy to me. You know, like, I think he eventually said he was bisexual, like, somewhere around the third album, I think he
did call himself a drag queen when he accepted the Best New
Artist.
Yeah,
but what is that? You know what I mean? Like, that could be anything.
Yeah.
And
no one knew, we certainly didn't know as children or as adults, that all those songs that he wrote were actually about the drummer in the band.
Yeah.
But I think that's just, like, sort of the nature of pop culture in sort of the 80s and the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like, well, I mean, then again, we have George Michael.
I was going to say, George Michael, I want your sex.
Well, but he was in the closet.
Yeah.
He was definitely heterosexual as far as we knew.
Yeah. Celebrate Monogamy.
Yeah.
Written on the back of
with his,
some
his
lady
girlfriend
he
at
got
the time.
To...
I think that was his girlfriend at
well,
the time.
Well, I think he said that.
Yeah, but certainly from what we were told,
yeah,
that was his, at least on screen,
right.
That was his love interest,
right.
In the real world, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
The first song that I highlighted on my list was from 1987, and it is Heart and Soul, because I love that
song.
Oh,
a little bit of Heart and Soul.
Oh, to Pow.
Yes.
That song is so... I tweet about it every few months, just saying you have to listen to this, because it is such a perfect
pop song.
It's gorgeous.
Song. Yep.
It is so beautiful. And every time I do it, usually someone from like the Ta Pow fan community will be like, they have a new album. You should go listen to it. I'm like, oh, well, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
There was, I guess, right after this, there was a Kroger ad. You know Kroger?
Of course.
It's from the Ralphs of the East Coast.
Yeah. And they had an ad that was very, very much bit Heart and Soul. Like it was like the sound palette was exactly the same. The singer,
yeah.
And it was all about the scissors cutting all the prices.
Oh,
I'll send you the video. Like wow. Ben told me, my boyfriend Ben told me about it, and I'm obsessed with it because it's clearly a ripoff of Heart and Soul. But it's listen to the scissors cutting all around. Don't you love the sound of a price going down?
Oh my God.
And the scissors are represented by like dancers in leotards and like silver leotards, and their legs are like scissors.
Oh wow!
Snip, snip.
Wow.
So anyway, it had
did
significance
Ta-Pow
in our
paid
culture.
For
it had
that,
relevance.
I wonder.
I bet they did not. Just a little something to break the monotony of all that hardcore dance that has gotten to be a little bit out of control.
It's cool to dance, but what about a groove that soothes and moves? Romance? Specific summary memories that you have. We've asked you to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Some in advance, so you're not being taken off guard.
Right.
Are there particular moments in the summer that stick out for you as something that you could relate? It doesn't even have to be necessarily in the book, but you know, it could be a tease to the book.
Yeah, this is not. But I was with. I remember, and I just had this memory when Prince died. I had a sleepover at my house with a couple of the guys, who hung out in the candy store. You'll read about it. I hope.
Slumber party with the boys from the candy store.
Yeah, no, nothing happened. But we all went to the, like, it was early summer, and we all went to the mall, and we all bought our own copies of Purple Rain. And I remember, like, we went back to my house, and my friend John had, like, a bowl cut at the time, because it was, like, between 7th and 8th grade. So it was, like, right when you would start to rethink your hair.
I had lots of bowl cuts when I was little. My
sure.
mom didn't
yeah.
know what else to do.
Yeah, of course.
I don't have any hair
no,
now.
I mean, I'm not
but,
judging
you know.
Him. Yeah. But it was also, like, we have to do something about that. Like, tonight is the night that you become a man, because we're getting rid of the bowl cut. And so that was my friend John. Derek and I, Derek had some studio line mousse with him, you know, with like the little Mondrian sort of thing on the front. And we were like, we're going to do your hair, like as gay as we could possibly be. Right. And
without actually being gay,
without
actually
being gay,
acknowledged
yeah,
any of that
yeah,
for
we were,
a very
yeah,
long time.
To our minds, in our minds,
in
we
our heads, you were screaming out and flailing about. But
yeah,
out
yeah.
externally, it was like, yeah. we're going to do your hair tonight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, and I remember my oldest brother passing my bedroom as we like shrieked and like attacked John with mousse. And I remember him giving a look like. Like, just, you know, like a head shake of disapproval, you know what I mean? And then he passed. And I remember seeing that and just being like, like a little freaked out because I was like, okay, I've been a little bit too exuberant, but I was also like, I was in the thrall of Prince, like, you know what I mean? And like, I just didn't care for the moment. I was like, yeah, I'm being a little faggy right now, and that's okay. You know what
now,
I mean?
As long as
we're listening to a man in a blouse, you know, who's like the greatest of all time.
Yes.
Now, was this soundtrack to Darling Nikki or just like Baby I'm a Star?
Probably Baby I'm a Star.
Yeah, that Darling Nikki might be a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Even I knew when I was little when we were listening to the Purple Rain soundtrack. I'm like, all of us were like, this seems wrong.
Yeah.
Like, but we don't know why.
Yeah.
And what is she doing with the magazine?
Yeah.
And
also, don't you get paper cuts?
Maybe she was into that.
Okay.
Some weird paper cut fetish. Yes. I have no idea.
Yeah, it's a wide world.
Any more that you can share?
I remember going to see the Go-Go's at the Muni in St. Louis, probably the summer of 1984. It's all from, I mean, every like hard musical memory is from when you're 13. But I remember seeing the Go-Go's and like, you know, we have this outdoor theater in St. Louis, and in like in the summer it's hot as hell and it's crazy humid, and so they'll be like touring productions of like She Loves Me or whatever, and they're just sweating their makeup off and it's awful. But the Go-Go's played there, and I went with my friend John, and there were these like three girls our age who were like right next to us in a row, and they were like, do you guys want to get high? And like, and we were terrified of it because they like lit up a joint and we'd never seen such a thing.
How
and it was
old
like
were you?
13.
Okay.
Yeah. And we didn't, but it was like, it was just like, we're seated next to some bad girls.
Right.
And we were watching some bad girls.
Yeah.
And you eventually became a fan of Donna Summer's Bad Girls.
Oh, absolutely. I love that song. But I also, like, I remember my first morning at MTV in 1998. And I was still working my advertising job, and I was sort of, like, phasing out of it and starting to, like, work more at MTV. And I remember, like, I had been working, like, late until the night, just sort of getting everything finished at my old job. And then the next morning, it was Monday morning, like a town car came to my apartment and picked me up and drove me to Seaside Heights because that's where the beach house was that summer. And like, and I remember Funkmaster Flex was spinning. I don't remember what. Let's say it's Too Close.
Sure, obviously.
Because it's 1998.
Number one song in 1998 on the Hot 100.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll be damned. A great song about erections. and I just remember thinking like, this is what I do now. You know what I mean? Like, this is a page has been turned. You know what I mean? Like, my old life is over, and this is what's happening. Like, I'm on a set with a bunch of people who do great TV. You know, well, not great TV. You know what I mean? Memorable TV.
I was watching that TV.
Sure.
So, yeah.
We were watching.
Yeah. And it's like, and this is, you know, this is my life now. And I just remember that feeling and just of just extreme joy on the beach as dancers danced.
As dancers
it was,
danced.
It was heaven.
And the waves crashed in. And your life was forever changed.
Yeah.
Because you won the MTV Wannabe
no,
a VJ
not.
Contest.
Did
no,
not
I did
win.
Not. I did not win.
You won it in our hearts.
Well, thanks.
Yes.
Thanks.
We actually discovered that we both voted for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
by
so
the
nice.
Way.
Thank you so much.
It didn't really help.
Oh, that's great.
I mean,
well,
but it
we
did
tried.
Help.
We did our part.
Well, you know, it all worked out in the end.
Yeah, I also told him I remembered the first time I saw you hosting something after that contest, and I was like, wait, like, he gets to stay?
Yeah. Oh,
like,
that's
we're
awesome.
Still here? That's
awesome.
Great.
That's awesome.
I was like, man, like, Dave is like me. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, he's like a brainiac when it comes to music. I know all these things. He needs to win. I think there were so many people that saw like their inner music.
Yeah, no,
like,
I feel the exact
you
same
know?
Way.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. Thank you.
And
kindred
no,
spirits.
I mean,
yeah.
you can keep praising me.
But,
I don't know.
Well,
cut
that,
you off.
That's why it was so lovely that you actually did get on
Thanks.
To MTV.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And you then
and
stuck
I,
around for years.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people at MTV kind of had that feeling, like a lot of the people who work there, I think, had that feeling about me, which is why I ended up working there. Because, like, if you, you know, if you work, I don't know, it like if you work in a magazine or whatever, it's because you love magazines, right? I mean, this, I think you guys have passion for music and charts
right.
and all that, so there's
right.
a reason why you're here.
Right.
But if you work at like a fashion magazine, it's because you love a fashion magazine or whatever. If you work at like CNN, it's because you want to be in news. If you work at MTV, it's because you want to be at MTV. Right. It's because you were like marinating in it for years and years, and you wanted to be a, you wanted to like step into your TV and be a part of it.
Yeah.
And so, so everyone that I worked with was that steeped in it. In it, you know what I mean? And I think that they recognized something of themselves in me, and that is why I was able to come back.
Yeah.
That, and I was super persistent. Like stalkerishly persistent.
That's
about
really
just like
smart
getting meetings.
That you well, followed up. And
it would be, I mean, it's not that it's that smart. It's just that to not to would have been so dumb.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean? And so I'm glad I did.
What's interesting, and then you know, we should probably wrap up, shouldn't we? Soon. I mean, do you have somewhere
I can stay
to go
here all day?
Yeah. I mean, we should probably wrap up.
He already has his new desk and everything.
Yeah.
So.
He's already moving
yeah.
in. We've got a space for you next
That's
door. What I thought was interesting in the book is that it seems like. In a way, a lot of things just you sort of stumbled into them. Basically, it was the fact that you saw a news story on Billboard.com,
mm-hmm.
truly, this is in the book, about MTV's Wanna Be a VJ
yeah.
contest.
Yeah.
When you were, because you went to just go check the charts on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you saw on Billboard.com changed the course of your life and career.
That's absolutely right.
And now here we are nearly 20 years later.
Oh, my God. No.
I just swore.
Yeah, that's fine. You can do that here.
Okay, cool. Yeah, it's like 18 years later, which is crazy. That happened so, so fast.
Thank you for coming in. Thank you for being a virtual friend to us.
Yes.
If you could go on Wanna Be a VJ again, we'd vote for you again in a heartbeat. you know, but, you know, we vote for you by reading you on Esquire and elsewhere. And, you know, again, your new book, Party of One, is out now. Go check it out. Again, thanks so much, Dave.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Well, Katie, wasn't that lovely?
Dave Holmes is the greatest, and it was a delightful interview.
Could you all tell that we were a little bit gushy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah. We were so gushy, and we were having such a nice time with Dave that we completely forgot to record our normal chart set of the week and our traditional outro to the show because, well... You know, we just got carried away with chatting. So now it's time for the chart stat of the week. you know, since it's our 150th episode, I figured maybe we can do a chart stat about one of our favorite acts that Katie and I love so much. All right, fine. It's actually just one of my favorite acts, Madonna.
I mean, I love her too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Madonna.
Everyone loves her.
This week in 1985... One of the Divas' most beloved tracks, Into the Groove, hit number one on the Hot Dance Club Songs chart. Now, interestingly enough, the song, which is from the film Desperately Seeking Susan, which co-starred Madonna, charted as a double-sided single alongside Angel. The chart itself actually reads Into the Groove / Angel. Now, why is this, you may wonder, Katie? Do you
I
wonder?
Do wonder.
Thank you. prompted, I know. Well, the only way you could actually buy Into the Groove back in 1985 was either as the B-side to the 12-inch vinyl single of Angel, truly, or on the soundtrack to Desperately Seeking Susan. Now, mind you, Into the Groove was a huge hit at the time. Radio stations were playing the heck out of it. It was all over MTV. Yet the only way you could actually get the song was either on the 12-inch vinyl or by buying the Desperately Seeking Susan soundtrack.
Yeah.
Now, in other countries around the world, they actually released it as a proper single. In America, not so much.
That's so strange.
Yeah, I know. It's like a weird, weird thing. And further, chart rules at the time prevented Into the Groove from ever charting on the Hot 100 chart. So one of Madonna's most famous and iconic songs and a number one hit on the dance chart never charted on the Hot 100. Instead, Angel peaked at number 5, supported greatly by the sales of the 12-inch single, which happened to feature Into the Groove as the B-side. Mm. Funny how those charts work.
Yes.
So there you go. There's your chart stat of the week. This week in 1985, Madonna topped the Hot Dance Club Songs chart with Into the Groove / Angel. Well, Katie, 150 episodes.
Yeah, man. Congratulations to you. You've been here for all 150 of those.
Almost.
I mean, almost.
There were a couple.
Occasional vacation.
There was a couple I wasn't here for. I'm so happy that we get to do this every week.
Yes.
I think everyone for listening and supporting the show. And I thank you to Katie for helping steer the pop ship.
My pleasure.
Thank you to, of course, all of our guests, the editors, and folks behind the scenes that helped produce the show, and our old pal, Jason Lipschutz, for being the co-captain of the show for its first 111 episodes. Yes. Well, we'll see you next week for the 151st episode and many more to come. What song should we go out on?
Well, after our conversation with Dave, maybe one of those top 10 songs of the summer from previous years.
Ooh.
I have to say, we had that little combo about T'Pau.
Yes.
Heart and Soul.
Yes.
Okay.
Such a good song.
I basically want to hear that every day, so that's my choice.
All right, we're going to go out into T'Pau, Heart and Soul. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.